Let's look at Acts chapter 2 together, and we're going to read that together for our reading this morning, Acts chapter 2. And yeah, there'll be some funny names in there. Just stumble through them. Don't worry about it. Mumble like you're speaking in tongues or something when we get to the lists of names. Acts chapter 2. We're going to read the first 17 verses. It's the day of Pentecost. Going to be teaching on the gift of tongues this morning. I know it's very strange and very scary. I've wondered, what in the world am I doing teaching on tongues on a Sunday morning? And hey, why not? It's in the Scripture. And so let's read together about the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Let's stand up. I will read the first and the odd-numbered verses. And if you would care to join in the second and the even-numbered verses, let's read God's Word, Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes." A good job. "Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others, mocking, said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, 'And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.'" And so, Father, it is our desire, as we are continuing to seek you and to learn of your ways, of your heart, of the things of your Spirit, Father, we long to have all that you want for us. Father, it is so easy to be afraid of things we don't understand. And I pray, Lord, that you would show us, Lord, that your gifts, all your gifts, are good gifts, wonderful gifts. And so I pray, Lord, for openness on our part to all that you're wanting to do in us, to all that you want to do. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. Read you a story by a gal named Suzanne Peppers. So this is in her writing. This is in her words. This is not in my words. This is her words. She writes this: "I have had a horrible case of laryngitis for the past 8 days. I'm working hard to get over it. I have only a little bit of voice for one day, really. Very frustrating. Then last Tuesday I was so hungry and had no money with me, so I decided to stop at Carl's Jr. fast food for lunch. They take ATM cards. I got inside and realized I would not be able to order easily without a voice. So, I grabbed a napkin and wrote on it in big words, big letters, laryngitis, underlined in bold. Then under that I wrote number 18 combo and medium drink. I walked up to the counter and stood before a young lady that appeared to have been gifted with fewer brain cells than most. Just a hunch. I thought this might go badly. I handed her the napkin. She looked past the napkin to my face and said, "To go or for here?" I mouthed, "To go." She said, "What?" This was not going to work. Again, I lifted the napkin and handed it to her. She repeated, "Is this to go or for here?" Frustrated, I began to wave the napkin in her face like a flag of surrender. She finally took it from my hand. She looked at my note and then, a bit indignant, looked right at me and said, "Ma'am, we don't have large nachos." Do you have any idea how hard it is to laugh hysterically without a voice? Suddenly, I realized I was suffering from a bad case of large nachos, not laryngitis. Oh my, but wait, the best is yet to come. As I'm shaking my head, she turns to the girl next to her and says, "Do we have large nachos?" The other girl reads my note and says, "I think she can't talk. Just ring up an 18 and a drink." So she does. But she continues the order process by looking down away from me. I'm becoming a bit baffled at her lack of attention till I realize she has a pen in her hand and she's writing something on the napkin. Chicken, beef, or pork? At this point, I begin pounding on the counter to get her attention. She finally looks up at me and says, "What?" I frantically point to my ears and mouth these words, "I can hear." To which she begins to reply in writing again. I tapped her on the shoulder this time, mouthed it again. "Really? I can hear. Talk to me." She became upset and said, "Well, I don't want you to have to say yes or no." So she's writing on her because she's... To which I replied, mouthing again, "I cannot." She took my money, handed me an order number, and was done with me, all without speaking or saying thank you or even looking at me. After all, I had a bad case of large nachos and could not understand anything she might say to me. That was a cute story. Have you ever had that frustration of having something to say but not knowing how to say it? Maybe something important's welling up inside of you. You just don't know how to say it. Have you ever felt an overwhelming love for the Lord, but didn't quite know what to say? Speechless. Have you ever had a situation where maybe there's trouble, maybe there's confusion, maybe there's anxiety, maybe there's worry, and you know you ought to be praying, but you don't quite know what to pray for? You feel like you got a bad case of large nachos. How do I say it? Well, these are the kinds of situations that God gives the gift of tongues for. Let me give you a definition of the gift of tongues. This is my definition of tongues. The gift of tongues is the supernatural ability to speak to God in a language you have not learned by natural means. That's what the gift of tongues is about. That's how the Bible defines it. It's a supernatural ability to speak to God in a language you've never learned before. I know that the subject of tongues makes some of us a little uneasy. I know some of you are here for various reasons today, and it was not to hear about the gift of tongues. Just relax, okay? Just relax. It's kind of disconcerting if you've been around the gift of tongues. It can kind of make you feel uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to be standing next to someone who's praying in a language and you don't know what they're praying. It's even freakier to think that they don't know what they're praying. That's what the gift of tongues is about. And yet, when I realize that it's not something being spoken for my sake, it's something that's being spoken to God, it helps me relax a little bit. I meet once a month with Victor Estrada. He leads our Spanish fellowship. They meet on Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock. Victor is just a great guy, wonderful, wonderful guy. And we meet once a month just to kind of check in and see how each other's doing and to talk about things, talk about how things are going on, and then we pray for each other. And Victor's okay in English. He can do English way more than I can do Spanish. I mean, I can say tacos and nachos and burritos. That's about it. You know, you say much more than that to me in Spanish, and it's over my head. But Victor can carry on a conversation. We will talk about how things are going in the Spanish fellowship, and then when we're done, we pray for each other. Always do this every month. It's just our routine. We've been doing this for a long time. We meet and we share, we talk, and we pray. But Victor's kind of strange when he prays because he only prays in Spanish. He can't pray in English, can't do the English prayer thing. It's too much. It doesn't flow for him. He doesn't like it. So he always prays in Spanish. And the first couple times he would do it, it's like, what's he saying? But you know what? The more I hear it, and I know he's not talking to me. You know, sometimes when we pray together, you know that people are not talking to God, they're talking to you. You ever hear that? You know, and God, please help Rich really get his act together, because I know he really has a lot of problems, and you're going, great. You know, sometimes people don't talk, sometimes they're talking, but you know what? He's praying in Spanish. He knows that I don't have a clue what he's saying. I might ask, there's words that will jump out and go, what does that word mean? You know, and he'll tell me, but to realize he's not talking to me, I tell you, it becomes for me something that's very beautiful, very touching. I want to talk for a minute. I want to just deal with some issues, because I think most of us have heard things about tongues. I think we've heard some misunderstandings about tongues. And I'd just like to talk about what the Bible says about the gift of tongues. First, I want to talk about the place of tongues. There will be some folks, you will run into them, who will give you the impression that you aren't truly spiritual unless you have the gift of tongues. And these will always be people that make you feel that way are always people who do speak in tongues, because they've got it, you don't, kind of a thing. And it's always, you can always do that with anything, huh? You know, I've got a Honda, you don't. You know, I have a dog, you don't. You know, and well, I've got tongues and you don't. And some people kind of make you feel bad if you don't have the gift of tongues. Keep in mind, gang, just to keep things in balance here, because I'm going to talk a lot about how wonderful the gift is, but let's start off by keeping things in balance. First off, when Paul lists the gifts in order of importance in 1 Corinthians 12:28, the gift of tongues is last. It's not first, it's last. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:30 that not all will speak in tongues. And I know that there are some Pentecostal folks who say, well, that's just because not everybody has enough faith, or there's a problem and stuff. But you know what? That's not what he's talking about. If you follow the whole argument of 1 Corinthians 12, the whole point is that every person in the body is different. And everybody's different because they have different gifts. And so not all will speak with tongues. God is the one who decides who gets gifts, not you. It's the last of gifts. Not everyone is going to speak in tongues. It is not the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That will be something that some folks will say. They will say, well, you haven't been filled with the Spirit unless you speak with tongues. And please don't get me wrong. I understand as well as anybody else who reads their Bible that many times when people are baptized in the Spirit, they do speak in tongues, but not every time. Not every time. We did this on a study back when we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you can get a hold of that study. But the evidence of being baptized in the Spirit that Jesus told us about in Acts 1:8 is power to be a witness. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will have power to be my witnesses. Power will come upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. If you want to talk about what Jesus connects with tongues, it's power. It's power, ability, strength, ability to do all that God wants you to do, and specifically ability to witness. Keep that in mind. And lastly, in talking about this place of tongues, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in fact, let's turn to 1 Corinthians because we'll probably be looking at a few verses in around 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Last thing, when we talk about the place of tongues, is 1 Corinthians 13, 1. And it is funny how we like this 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. Lots of people have it read in their weddings and stuff, and we talk about love and everything. But we often look right past the fact that it starts right off talking about tongues. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, 1, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or agape or love, God's kind of love, he says, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, if a person has the gift of tongues, but they don't have agape, love, in their life, this gift is worthless. It's just a bunch of noise. Do you hear what I'm saying? Is that you might have the gift, but it's nothing to be puffed up about. In fact, if you're puffed up about it, that's showing that the gift is worthless in your life because love is not proud. Love thinks more about other people. So see, the gift will be valuable to you, but only if you got it coupled with agape love. So when we talk about the gift of tongues, keep in mind where the place of tongues ought to be. It's the last of the gifts. That's not any less important, but it's the last of the gifts. And gang, without love, it's worthless. It's just a bunch of noise. Now, I want to give you three benefits for praying in for the gift of tongues. Three benefits about tongues. And in 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 15, we're going to kind of play detective. And I know Paul's trying to talk about something specific, and we're not going to quite talk about what he's talking about. Oh, let's just read it. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, Paul says this. He says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Now, what's he talking about? For one thing, Paul is talking about how in the church service, when we are together as a church, if tongues is used, it's important that the gift of interpretation of tongues is used. Because if people don't understand what you're saying, you're just wasting their time. There's nothing, they don't get anything good out of it. But as he's talking about that, he gives us some insight into what tongues is useful for. And he contrasts. He talks about what is done in the Spirit and what is done with the understanding. In other words, what is done with the Spirit are the things that are done with tongues that are not interpreted versus the things that are done with understanding, the things that I get this. I'm getting a message from this. Now, he says, I will pray with the Spirit. In other words, tongues can be involved with prayer. He says, I will sing with the Spirit. Verse 16, he talks about blessing with the Spirit. And in verse 17, giving thanks. So let me just say this. Here's a couple of things. What is tongues good for? Number one, tongues is good for praising well. What's the benefit of tongues? You learn it's a way of praising God well. It's for those times when you just don't know what to say. When you think about who God is, how awesome He is, how incredible is His mercy, His kindness, how He forgave you. I mean, you can't even forgive you. And yet He forgave you. When you think of, when you begin to be overwhelmed with the, how God has blessed you in your life, and you realize, and you think, no, the kid is not a problem, the kid is a blessing. And you just get overwhelmed with this stuff sometimes. And you just, how can I say thank you, God? I could sing these songs, you know, and that helps, but it just doesn't quite get it. Well, the gift of tongues is one way of praising God well. Because it is the Spirit giving the words that give honor and glory to God. Tongues is always addressed to God. It's never addressed to people. It's always addressed to God. God doesn't speak to people in languages they don't get. It would do you no good, and God knows it would do you no good for me to stand up here and speak in Hungarian to you. You're going to go, huh, what? Where am I? You know, you're not going to get anything out of it. God always speaks to us in a language we understand. But what tongues is language spoken to God. And sometimes that language is praising Him because we just don't know how to do it. Paul talks about being caught up into the third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12 and seeing things that are just too much. Like, just like, wow, things that just, you know, inexpressible words. How can I describe heaven? You know, you and I, those of us who haven't had that experience, we read what the Bible says about heaven. We describe heaven from what the Bible says. But to actually have seen it, Paul is just speechless. Well, it's those kinds of things where tongues is used. It is used to praise them well. I believe this was what was happening on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:11. It says, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. What I believe was happening on the day of Pentecost is the disciples were praising God. I bet you they were praising God for sending His Son who had just died on the cross and had just rose again. I bet they were praising God for having poured out His Spirit upon them. I bet they're declaring to God, they're speaking to Him, they're giving God praise for His mighty works. You see it again in Acts chapter 10 when the Spirit comes down on Cornelius' house. It says the same thing, that they were speaking in tongues and magnifying God. So one of the benefits of tongues is that it is useful to praise God well, for praising well. Second is, it is useful for praying well. Now, we saw this also here in Corinthians. It talked about praying in the Spirit. It's useful for praying well because sometimes you don't know what to pray for. In Romans 8:26, Paul says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, I don't think that Romans 8:26 is talking specifically about tongues, but it's talking about the function that the Spirit has in prayer. And sometimes the function of the Spirit in prayer goes beyond words. And so this is another useful function for the gift of tongues, is to be able to pray. You may be in a group and you don't, and somebody's sharing something from their heart and you're just like blown away and you have no idea how to pray for this person. You run through things in your head and you think, well, if I pray this way, that might not be good. If I pray that way, that might not be good. And I have no idea, and yet there's so much trouble. What do I pray for? Well, the Spirit knows what to pray. And so sometimes tongues may be used as a way of praying, maybe silently, but as a way of praying for someone. You don't know how to pray for them. 15th century Italian reformer, a guy named Savonarola, he said this: when prayer reaches its ultimate, words are impossible. That's what we're talking about. That's when tongues can be a part of. Third thing for the gift of tongues: praising well, praying well. The third thing is, for building yourself up. Building yourself up. We get this from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, where Paul says this. And again, he's contrasting tongues and prophecy. And he's trying to make a point of why prophecy is better than tongues. But he says this, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church." And Paul's whole point is to say that when the church is together, you know what, think about others. When we're all together, think about building other people up. And so tongues is not the thing to build people up. Prophesying is, because people understand what is being spoken in their own language. But with this, he gives us another hint. Again, another. If you play detective with this, one of the things he's saying is that tongues builds the person who speaks. It builds them up. How does that work? Don't have a clue. I could give you some suggestions, but it just does. It just does. It's kind of like I think it's kind of like taking vitamins. How many of you take vitamins in the morning? Okay, a few of you. Does it help? Do you do it because it helps? When you stop taking vitamins, do you notice it? A little bit. I know for me, if I stop taking my calcium pills in the morning, I'll start getting cramps. And there's a couple other things I do. And if I stop taking them, you know, certain things will. If I stop taking my vitamin C every morning, I will get sick. That's just because I have a weak constitution or whatever it is, or maybe I have a weak Declaration of Independence. I don't know. And yet vitamins do that for you. They build you up. They help you. Notice not a lot of you take vitamins. Shame on you. Do your mothers know that you don't take your vitamins in the morning? But vitamins help build you up. Tongues does that. And for those of you with the gift of tongues, you know what? You don't really ever notice it too much until you stop. And then it's like you grow weaker. Tongues builds a person up. I believe when Jude wrote, this is Jude 1:20, it says this, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." We saw Paul talking in 1 Corinthians 14 about praying in the Spirit. And in the context there, he is talking about tongues. Now, I know this is just a suggestion, but when Jude talks about praying in the Holy Ghost, I wonder, is it possible that he too could be talking about tongues? Maybe, maybe not. I'm not going to be dogmatic on that, but the fact that Paul talks about praying in the Spirit, being tongues, could Jude be talking about it? Maybe. And he links it with building yourselves up. Building yourselves up. Tongues is a way to build yourself up. Now, I have come across folks over the years who make this argument. They say, well, that shows why tongues is bad. Because it builds you up. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says that love doesn't seek its own. Love is not selfish. And so if you speak in tongues to build yourself up, you're being selfish. Therefore, don't speak in tongues. Do you follow the argument? You follow that argument? Dave's nodding because he's probably heard the argument quite a few times himself. He and I go in the same circles. And so he's probably heard that argument. But you know what? The problem with that gang is this. If tongues is a gift of God, and James 1:17, we sang it this morning, every good and perfect gift is from above. If God's gifts are good gifts, then it's not wrong to speak in tongues. And if it's not wrong to speak in tongues, it's not wrong to build yourself up. Gang, why do you think your pastor is always encouraging you to read your Bible every morning? To build others up? No, to build yourself up. Why does your pastor encourage you to pray every morning? Because it builds you up. Why do we spend time? Why is it important to come to church? Well, it's important to minister to others, but it's also important for you to build yourself up. Not wrong to build yourself up. In fact, I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I need all the help I can get. Let me address the issue of receiving the gift of tongues, because there's some things that I've learned that I want to share with you about receiving the gift of tongues. First, I want to talk about the issue of helping people to receive the gift of tongues. As with other gifts of the Spirit, there are examples in the Scripture where people receive the gift through the laying on of hands by others, like prophecy and tongues and different things where people have hands laid on them and they receive gifts. There's also examples of people receiving gifts without the laying on of hands. Peter is talking at Cornelius' house. He's just in the middle of the Bible study, and boom, the Holy Spirit falls on people. Nobody laid hands on the apostles when they received the gift of tongues in Acts chapter 2. It just happened. Now, for years, the Pentecostal church has embraced this practice of helping people to speak in tongues. Not just laying hands on them, but helping them. For example, they might say to people, well, just say Abba, Abba, Abba. And actually, I could see why, because there's a scripture that talks about how God has put His Spirit in our heart, crying Abba unto Him. And so they will encourage you to just say Abba, 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 Abba. And after a while, then the tongues might start. Other people will say, well, did you say glory? Glory, 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 glory. And after a while, your tongue gets all kind of just, you know, in the mess. And then you start speaking in tongues or something like that. And frankly, for years, I've struggled with this. Because I don't see this happening in the New Testament. I don't see... Paul laying hands on somebody and he said, now repeat after me, shandala, 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 or something like that, you know. But I got to tell you something, gang. I've changed my mind on this. Because if I'm going to be honest, God does use things to help our faith. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, says, and behold, a woman who was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, you look at that story, it's kind of a freaky story. A woman got healed by touching a piece of cloth. Was it magic cloth? No, it wasn't. In fact, Jesus clarified it. He said, your faith has made you whole. But touching the cloth helped her faith. And gang, God knows that for some of us, we need a little boost, a little kick, a little push with our faith. And I hate to sound hokey, but gang, if that's where you're at, God's willing to accommodate you. Pastor Chuck tells a really fascinating story about a gal a couple years ago in his church who had been learning about the gift of tongues. And she'd been, you know, he'd been teaching about the gifts, and she went home and she's reading through the book, Acts chapter 2, what we just read, and the sound of the mighty rushing wind, and she's in her dining room praying, oh Lord, I just pray, give me the gift of tongues. Oh God, I want the gift of tongues. And suddenly there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And she just got surprised, and she started speaking in tongues. She found out later from her husband it was just the heater kicking on. But the sound of the heater pushed her over the edge to simply trust God and begin to speak. Now, some of you are going, oh man, I can hardly wait till the service is over. Get me out of this church. Gang, gang, don't throw this out. Don't throw this out. You know, we all make jokes. I make jokes about Benny Hinn and throwing his coat on the audience and everybody falls over and all this kind of stuff. But and some of that may be mass hysteria, crowd things or whatever. Sure, maybe. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to throw my coat on you or anything. That's just not me. I'm sorry. But please understand, sometimes God will use these things simply to help you trust Him. Not the thing. I don't think the woman went into the hem of the garment miracle business, you know, and she's going to now sell hems of garments for people to touch, you know, and get healed, you know. No, it's what helped her trust in Jesus. Now, for those of you who think this is just totally superstitious and hokey, I got news for you. God's not offended. And you know what? If you don't want God to work in your life that way, neither does God. Neither does God. But He still wants you to trust Him. He still wants you to trust Him, no matter what. Now, one other issue in receiving the gift is the issue of understanding. My mind. Understanding. And I believe this is one of the biggest keys to this gift. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, Paul says this, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." That's one of the things about tongues, is that the speaker doesn't understand what he's saying, and the people that hear it don't understand what's being said. The way tongues works is the Holy Spirit is the one who prompts you and gives you little sounds and words and phrases to say. You, as the hearer, have a choice, am I going to do this or not? And I say, okay, I'm going to do this, and I begin to speak this, and then God is the one who hears it. That's the way tongues works. It comes from God, it works through you, bypasses your understanding, and works right back to God. Bypasses the old brain, the old thinker. And that's where some of us struggle. Because I want to know what I'm saying. I want to know what's happening here. And the thing with tongues, gang, is that you're going to have to let go of that. You're going to have to let go of that. That's a difficult thing for some of us. And don't misunderstand me. Those of you who are part of our church regularly, you know that I have a great value. I place great value on his understanding. That's my heart as a teacher, is to teach you, help you understand the Scriptures, to understand with your God as much as we can. But because God is God, and God is great, and God is way bigger than your puny mind could ever comprehend, there's going to be some things about Him you will not understand. So a thing about this is a thing of trust. It's a thing of, I'm going to let go of my understanding. I want to talk about, for a few minutes, about the subject of growing and using your gifts. I've heard people express that in their personal experience, when they received the gift of tongues, they only received a sound or two, and perhaps just a couple of words. And they kind of felt like, well, maybe I didn't get the full-blown deal or something like that. And I can understand that. But let me make some suggestions. Karis hasn't said anything yet, has she? Nothing that you can understand.
There you go. Very, very well said there. Thank you, sir. I'll pay you after the service for that little comment. Nothing that you can understand. But when she begins to speak, it's going to be mama, probably. Sorry, pal. It's usually mama. Maybe dada. And that's about all. Mama, dada. And when she sees their excitement at mama, dada, she'll say mama, dada all the time. Mama, 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 dada, 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 dada. But you know, as the little kiddo grows up, so will her language. So will her language. Peter writes, 2 Peter 3:18, Peter says this, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Peter talks about growing in grace. And we mentioned this morning, the Greek word for grace is charis. This is the root of the word where we get spiritual gifts, charismata, which are literally workings of grace. I'm not so sure it's a huge step that when Peter talks about growing in grace, I think it's possible to grow in the gifts. I do. I don't think that they're always given at a full mature, you know, and boom, the gift, the Holy Spirit comes on me and I start speaking like Charles Spurgeon or something, you know. I don't think it works that way. I think some things can, but I think some things are things that we grow into. And same with tongues. Grow in your gifts. Grow in your gifts. For some of you, the issue is not necessarily growing. The issue is get it moving again. Get it moving again. I know for me, when I received some of my gifts in high school, got all excited about it, got all Pentecostal on my family and friends, and it was just a big pain in the neck to everybody. I was real obnoxious about the whole thing. And went through college, went off to seminary where I learned that the gifts don't exist and that God doesn't use that anymore. And I was so confused. What in the world? Well, then, whoa! And I stopped. Shut off the spigot. Shut off the spigot. I went through some real dry times. You know what, gang? I think God would say to some of you, as He said to me, stir up the gift. Don't neglect it. Maybe that some of you, in an earlier time, maybe you thought you might have received the gift of tongues, but you've been talked out of it. You know what? Beloved, stir it up. Stir it up. In your time alone with the Lord, stir it up. Speak those one or two syllables or two or three words. You stir it up. Don't neglect the gift of God. Let it grow. Let it flow. There is also this accompanying gift of the interpretation of tongues. And let me just say a quick word on this, and then we're going to have communion. Interpretation of tongues. The Greek word for interpretation is hermeneia, which is where we get our word hermeneutics. And some of you are thinking, well, what does hermeneutics mean? I have never heard of that word. Hermeneutics is what I do for a living. It's the art and the science of interpreting. It's interpreting the Scriptures. It is taking a Bible passage and explaining it to others. The interpretation of tongues is not the translation of tongues. It's the interpretation of tongues. Some people get hung up because they will hear an interpretation. They will say, well, this guy spoke 50 words and your interpretation is only 3. That can't be true. Well, it could be. It could be that God has given, boiled this down to a very simple thing. Maybe the tongue was only 3 or 4 words and the interpretation lasts for 10 minutes. Well, that's just like your pastor. He just goes on and on and on. It's an interpretation of tongues. But with the interpretation, keep in mind, it's always addressed towards God. Sometimes you will hear people give what is supposed to be an interpretation, but it's to the church. Oh, my little children, blah, blah, blah. You know, that may be from God. It may be a prophecy, absolutely, but it's not the interpretation. Because remember, God doesn't speak to you in a language you don't understand. God speaks to Himself. God, the tongue is always addressed towards the Lord. The challenge, how do I leave you with all this stuff? I struggle, but boy, I still got pages and pages of stuff I could talk for weeks on the gift of tongues. It's scary. And yet I know for some of you, you're thinking, yeah, but this, either I don't have this gift. I don't want this gift. So what did I come to church for? Think about this, gang. Maybe God wants to do more in your life. And maybe not through the gift of tongues, but do you praise Him like you should? God ought to be praised. He deserves to be praised. Do we pray like we should? Are we building ourselves up? Are we using the gifts God has given us? Stir up the gifts, gang. They are good gifts. They are precious gifts.